Hello everyone, my name is Brita Aragon and I want to welcome you to the fourth annual Detox Your Life speaker series. I'm your host for this year's event, which is all about detoxifying the blocks that are getting in the way to discovering your dream career or making it happen. And I am so excited about today's session because it totally relates to my process about writing my book and was that a calling? And then how was it useful with CD Skin Lunch when I wrote that book? And so today's session is going to be pretty incredible. And the series is called, if you guys know by now, it's Detox Your Life Career Edition. So joining me today, we have a very special guest. Please welcome everyone, Jamie Flairs. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Rita. So nice to be here.
As you know, even before we were talking, before we started, it's like we're crazy energy because this is such an important topic. So, but before we go into exactly what the topic is and getting started, I just want to let everybody know a little bit more about why we've got you here on this year's event and what I love about what you do, and talk a little bit about what the blocks and the solutions that you'll be discussing. But, you know, Jamie, she's an author herself of the book called Birth Your Story. And I know that whether you're already an entrepreneur in business or you're here because you're going to leave corporate America, that this whole, your story is everything. Your story is how you show up in the world and raise your hand and say, hey, everyone, this is who I am. I'm over here. I'm your peeps, right? Your story and your message is what's going to really identify. People are looking for you already, and so they're just waiting for you to raise your hand and say, I'm here, this is who I am. So whether it's you feel like you've been called to write a book, like you've known, you know, like I did in my 20s, I just knew, it was in my vision board, I'm like, I have a skincare line and a book. To me, it was more of a soul calling. But then you may already be an established entrepreneur, and you're going to hear today about why it's valuable to maybe have a book to scale your business. So this is a great session. And Jamie loves to help soulful creatives write books and share their stories. So she specializes in creative mindset, which I don't care if you're the CEO of the company or you're the creative behind the website and blogging and writing presentations or speaking. You will need a creative mindset to scale your business, to stay on point, to stay on track, and stay focused. So today the topic is going to be creative mindset to start writing your book and scale your business. So Jamie, I'm going to let you now start by sharing with everyone what you're best known for. I know I shared a little bit more, but just tell me a little more.
Yeah, so what I'm best known for is helping people champion I champion the inner creative authentic voice within my clientele and within my community, the people I'm able to reach. And I really help other people share the truth about not only their lives, but the gifts that they have to offer. So I do that through writing primarily, although I do other forms of coaching as well. And I sometimes joke that I'm a book writing coach, but a lot of what I do is I up creativity and I try to help people manage the inner critic. And so that's a lot of the work that we do in process when we're writing a book. So we have the book and its content, but we also have our own inner process, which can be quite a journey because, you know, we're really stepping into our power when we write a book and when we own what we know and what we have to share. And so that comes with like the full range of experience, you know, as we move through, I'm sure, as you know, Brita. And so I just love it. So I'm really known for, you know, my approach to writing a book is not just like quick and dirty, like book in 30 days, but it's really like, how do we honor the creative process and really align with it so that we can create the most powerful expression of what we have to share in the world?
That's amazing. And, you know, you are so valuable in this field and for anyone that really, I think, you know, this process of writing, Jamie, is, again, it's because it's been a calling, because number two, it could be valuable for anyone's current business to get their message out and to reach wider audience. But number three, you just mentioned something so important that just clicked for me, because when I wrote my book about cancer, I was able to finally own and deal with my own cancer experience. And you said that you help people or that writing a book helps people step into their power and owning mm-hmm. their experience. So it's like writing a book is not only for business as a calling, but it's so like healing and therapeutic. Mm-hmm. And so I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So let's get started. And I know we're going to go organically everywhere and we're going to talk about many different things, but what in your experience from being an author yourself and from championing and coaching hundreds and hundreds of people into writing their books and finding that creative voice or their authentic voice, what would you say is like one of the biggest blocks that you see that's getting in the way?
Yeah, I mean, I think the umbrella term I use for it is the inner critic, although I see it show up in different forms in different people, just depending on how, you know, that little tricky devil decides to show up in their lives, you know. And sometimes for people, it's, you know, having so many ideas and being so scattered and just being stuck in the mind and never actually taking action to write their book. And for other people, you know, that inner critic is telling them, you know, who are you to write this book? You're not an expert enough. Like all those kinds of those voices in our head that keep us stuck and keep us from actually creating what we came here to create. And so I see it show up in a lot of different ways. And I've had, you know, I want to say I'm lucky to have experienced it, although it never felt good at the time. But, you know, I've wrestled with my own inner critic as well. And so I come from a place of like deeply knowing and having wrestled with my own. And so I bring that to my clients as a tool, as a useful tool, because I have a lot of offerings for how to move around it and how to manage our inner critic.
Mm-hmm. I love that you said that the inner critic shows up in many different ways. And I think the obvious one that we'll all relate is, oh, come on, why am I going to write a book? Like, what do I have to say? Like, I'm not, you know, credible. I'm not, who am I kind of thing. And that's the same. Mm-hmm. I think whenever we birth or put out any creative project, it's the inner critic, as you call it, is going to be in turbo boost. Like it's mm-hmm. going like bring up. I say it's going to flush up. Any creative project is going to flush up all the low frequencies that are no longer. Because when we pray for the best and when we actually take action towards the best and the authentic best, God's going to remove everything that doesn't belong. So it's going to remove the rest. And the rest is usually low frequency things that don't have any business with the authentic desire. They're not a match. So mm-hmm. one of the things that I love that you just said is that scattered in the mind and never put ideas onto paper. Can we talk a little bit about a solution for someone that they're like, oh my God, I relate. And maybe that someone also runs their whole business out of their head and there's still no systems in their business. You know, there's still... As someone that teaches people how to do this, what's the importance of gathering what's in the mind and scattered and organizing those ideas and putting it on paper?
Yeah, I mean, the writing process naturally creates order from chaos in my mind. You know, when we start to write something, you know, we're storytelling creatures. And so, and writing is like naturally like a narrative process. And so when we start to create order, like when we start to write things, we start to see them. And the other thing that's cool about writing is it brings it outside of ourselves so that we can interface with it. So it's almost like in meditation when you bring in the witness, it's like that. It's like you're taking it and bringing it outside of yourself so you can start to interface with it in a way that, you know, when it's stuck in the mind, it's like that closed loop, like you know, the same kind of narrative running over and over and not going anywhere. But when you can bring it outside of yourself, you can start to move things and move things forward. So I think it helps bring a lot of clarity for people when they actually start, you know, sometimes with clients when they're scattered and they have so many ideas, we talk about how to map that out spatially, like outside of ourselves through writing, whether that's, you know, I have some clients who create labyrinths, you know, in, you know, spatial labyrinths about their ideas. And I have others that create these clusters and there's just lots of ways to dig in, but we have to start interfacing with our ideas in a different way, like beyond just like kind of the mental mind, you know, kind of thought path. That path, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it just came to mind that you said meditation, and I know journaling, a lot of people do journaling as a spiritual practice and as just getting it out. And you mentioned like three really important points. Writing creates order and chaos and clarity. So this may be an aha just for a lot of people that just writing alone is probably a big piece of finding out ideas, of revealing, getting, you know, certain things that about, so let's just say you have people that, okay, I want to write the book, and they've been saying they're going to write a book for 3 years, and they're on this call right now. And it's because their inner critic, because they don't believe they have anything worth saying, and they don't believe that anyone will want to read their book. What would you say to that person?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I would say is that voice that they keep hearing is not actually the truth. It's just this aspect of themselves, which I call the inner critic. You can also call it the shadow of our genius. So like when we are called to bring forward our genius, you know, the shadow comes with it. Like you said, like all the things that aren't in alignment come up for clearing, you know. And so one of the things that I do with clients, and I've done it with myself, I did it through my book process when I was really in resistance or in this kind of critical place, is that I sat down and I just wrote everything that inner critic said. So, you know, like for those people who are, gosh, I've been wanting to write a book and I haven't, and maybe they're not even clear, like what is the voice that's holding them back? And so I call it the inner critic field day, where you sit and you write down like everything she has to say or he has to say. You just like give them full rein to say what they need to say and get it out of your head and onto the paper. And what I really believe through my own experience and through working with a lot of clients is that, you know, it's easy for us to want to reject this part of us, like, oh, inner critic's bad, let's get rid of it. But my approach to the inner critic is that it's always going to be there. Like fear is always going to be there when you go to create. It's just part of the, you know, the dualistic way of humanity. And so it's there. And so how do we ally with it? How do we work with it? How do we manage it? So it's not trying to like eliminate, but how do we like get it into its right relationship? Like, you know, I think of it like in the car metaphor, like you don't get to drive the car, but you can like be in the back seat. Like you're always going to be here. So like, how do we get you in the right place where you're not impeding like where we're headed? You know, you don't get to decide where we're going. and so when I take people through that process, you know, I have them really write out what it is so they can clearly identify it. And then they can start to interface with it, like asking that question, like, is this really true? Where does this come from? You know, what is this part of me actually protecting? Because what I find a lot of times is that the inner critic is trying to protect us. It's sort of like the misguided family member that like just wants what's best for us, but like never quite gets it. And usually just kind of stands in the way or creates problems. And so it's like, it's well-intentioned. It's meant to protect us. But we need to let it be heard so that it can quiet down. And oftentimes I find when people really let their inner critic be heard, it starts to get quiet. It's like, okay, thank you. I just needed to be heard and seen, and now I can move aside. And so it's really amazing when we actually start to directly work with it, how much it can shift.
Oh my God, I'm so grateful you talked about this whole protector thing, because, you know, my whole thing of where I really, not only do I help people with breaking glass ceilings, but it's all about safety. You know, and everything in life, if you've got a desire placed in you to write a book or to start a business or to, you know, create art or write music, whatever, or just have a coaching business or open a bakery, whatever it is, and you're not doing it, it's because there's the fear that's actually driving and it's protecting you. You don't feel safe yet. You haven't, you know, and so I see Jamie as this bridge of, you know, how do you not rely on the inner critic as your safety, but how do you rely on your creative divinity and that gift for the safety? So it is a journey. It's like you got to walk that journey. If you're stuck and you haven't taken action and doing something, I love this point that this inner critic is protecting you from something. And so this is a very worthwhile process to do. It's to dump it out, as you said. I'm using the word dump, sorry, but like dump it out of you, you know, get it out of you.
Yep.
And then ask the questions like, is this really true? I love it, right? And what is it protecting me from? And what am I afraid of? And because once those things are out in the open, it's amazing how the light already starts to dissolve those fears. But when they're in our head, they're in this dark place and they're refueled. Like you said this beautifully, Jamie, that in the head, it just recycles itself, right? It's like this, it just keeps going and going and going. And so you're pattern interrupting the loop if I'm not good enough, who's going to listen to me? Who's going to want to hear me sing? Who's going to want to coach with me? Who's going to buy my baked goods? Who's, you know, you're breaking the loop, you're pattern interrupting. And in life, you guys, when you're, it's not these huge firework moments that make the biggest difference. It's the baby steps, which are quantum leaps, which are going to start breaking patterns and dislodge them. So amazing. So then you start asking these questions, and what if someone finds out that the reason they don't want to write a book is because they're afraid that they're, what is the most common things that you see people that they're afraid of that when they do this discovery process?
Well, I see lots of different things, but I think a lot of people just don't feel like they're qualified to write. Like, who am I to do this? You know, because we have this myth in our society that in order to be an expert or a teacher or somebody who's engaged in an area of inquiry like that, we have to be perfect. We have to have it all figured out. Everything's great. I'm solid. I'm the best at this. You know, we have this old kind of mind about that. And my concept of like the expert is someone who's deeply engaged in an area of inquiry. And so it's just a matter of like letting themselves take the seat, you know, the seat before them, like, and really own it. And what I think is also happening when we write a book is that we don't necessarily come to the book being masters. We become masters through writing the book, you know, and I don't know if you could relate to that, Brita, but like, writing a book is actually what develops true mastery, because it helps us really anchor in and flesh out our ideas and really offer them in a coherent and cohesive and clear way. And so it's the process that creates the expertise as well. And I really witnessed that through my own writing experience with my book. And I see that with my author clients all the time.
I love what you just said. We've got to break this misconception that we think that whoever's out there, like, you know, it says it takes 10 years to become an overnight success. So that means people are at it and trying and flopping and kind of wobbly and until one day they just get known and you just think that they're just this perfect package that just was birthed like that. No way. Mm-hmm. You know, there were lots of bruises and tears and dark nights of the soul sometimes along the way. And so tell me a little bit more about what's crucial to have this creative mindset that needs to happen in order to birth a story. What would you say is one of the important points?
Yeah, one of the important points, you know, I talk about the critic as that piece, but another one of the crucial mindset pieces is that we're in right relationship to our art, whatever that is, whatever creative project, whether it's birthing a business or birthing a book or birthing a baby. And so a couple of the points under that, like, how can we get into right relationship with our art? One of the things that I think is really important is to remember that our creative projects and we are two different things. Like, we are and we have these creations right outside of ourselves, so that it's really important that we're deeply, deeply engaged in that work with this creative project, but that we are not the creative project, because we can get over-identified and over-invested, and that can start to impede our progress too, right? That kind of, it kind of is like the perfectionist mentality. So I kind of think of it like right relationship is like, your creative project is like a child. Like, it comes through you, but it isn't you. So there's enough space there where you can like carry on and move through the process without getting stuck. Hopefully that makes sense. and then I think like part of our job as creatives is to really show up courageously. So what do you have to do to get courageous in order to bring through your gifts, and how to be a clear channel for what wants to come through you? So it's really like this, in some ways it's like a service orientation, right? So it's bigger than us. Like, our work here is bigger than us. And so to remember that, like, you know, we can become a clear channel for what wants to come through, and that things will come around to support us as well. And then I also, last point is that we talked a little bit about this, you know, you said like, you know, we kind of think that overnight success like happens and we're just born that way. And so I really focus on, and I invite people to focus on the process, that we're committed to the process more than we're attached to the outcome. So that's why I love to work in the process. And it is messy and it's wild and it's untamable, but that's where all the magic happens, is in the process, right? And so that's where the real work is, you know?
Oh my God, you're hitting on all the like most incredible points. Like, another thing, we talked about safety and the inner critic, and now you talked about courage. You know, like having the courage to birth your art. And again, creating a business is your art because you're creating it the way you want to create it. And it's, you know, so how does someone, I think this is a very important ingredient. It's like, how does someone build that courage muscle to birth?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of ways. I think it's working with, so I talk not only about the inner critic, but I also really build up what I call the inner genius. And so we work on, like, how do we bolster that inside of ourselves? So how do we connect with that part of us that is wise, that, you know, I even work with people where we imagine, like, 5 years out, like, you are the author now. Like, what do you know? What do you know now? Like, how can we actually work with ourselves so that we can strengthen that inner courage and strengthen that inner genius that is there, and it's actually more powerful, you know, way more powerful than the inner critic. He just yells louder, you know, but that we do have this rich inner landscape, and that, so that's kind of the internal work. And then I also really encourage people to seek outer allies. So, you know, find those champions of you and your voice and your work, and lean on them when you need to. So whether it's a coach or it's your best friend or it's, you know, an event like this that really supports and nourishes that courageous genius inside of ourselves, but to continue to feed that part of ourselves, whether it's through outer resources or inner resources.
And Jamie, I couldn't agree more with the ally. And I remember when I was starting CB Skin Labs, like, I used to work in the beauty industry, but I'm not a chemist. I'm not a dermatologist. And I was creating a skincare line for people that were going through chemo and radiation. And again, who am I to do this? I'm not a doctor. And like you said, it was my child. Yeah, the project, the project wasn't that. But, when I didn't believe in myself, I remember my ex-husband was always like, you can do this, Brie. You've got, like, that's all he had to say. You've got this, Brie. I believe in you. Okay, I gotta go. Bye. Like, it was so simple, but it was like he had to believe in me more because then I could believe in myself. And I believe that when you've been called, because everybody's got a calling, and are you answering? And is this call the call where you're going to answer to your calling? And the session with Jamie, right? And so everybody has this calling, and I believe that all the resources, the people, the things, the money is all anointed to pursue and to birth that and step into that calling. And so everybody needs that ally. And if you don't have that ex-husband or, you know, my best friend, when I was starting Detox Your Life, she was the one that was like, oh, my God, are you kidding? She, and again, it was just sentences that they needed to say. They don't have to sit on the phone with you and give you three-hour pep talks. It's just those moments where you're like, yeah, I don't know. And they're like, are you kidding? You've got this. It's like, oh, okay, right.
Yeah,
okay,
it means everything. Yeah, I mean, we're not meant to do it alone. I think that's another myth that's kind of dying in our cultural mindset, is that, you know, we're meant to do it alone. It's like, we're not meant to do it alone. And the bigger our gift, the more support we need. And it's actually not a weakness to seek support. It's actually like genius to seek support, because it means that you're much more likely to do the thing that you're really setting out to do. So it's a little bit like hiring, you know, if you're an athlete, it's a little bit like hiring your personal trainer. Or if you're a musician, it's like having that, you know, that voice coach or that guitar teacher, you know, that we in all these other areas of our lives, you know, we do seek support. And, you know, the more we're stepping into, the more we need support. So I think it's just so crucial and it's so valuable. And it makes the process a heck of a lot more enjoyable, too, I'll say.
And I said to you earlier, Jamie, when I wrote my book, if I didn't have support, I mean, I didn't know you then, but if I didn't have support, and it wasn't even like, where were you really? But you know, but I had an editor who had me on schedule, and I said to Jamie, if I had not had her, I probably would have never written, the book would still be in my mind. And it would have been like, oh, shoulda, coulda, woulda. And to me, that was a labor of love for my father. It was about my cancer journey and my father's. And so I couldn't agree more. Now, I'm just going to switch gears to one last question here. And that is, let's just say that someone listening, they're not here. They're you know, they've got a business already. They never really have been called to write a book. But why would writing a book be valuable to their business?
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of reasons, and I do have a blog post on my website that talks about like 10 different reasons, but, and we talked about, you know, the process creating mastery. A book is it really helps you attract the right clientele, the right customers, because they can get to know you and your work in advance. And it's almost like a pre-screening, you know, like they really get to know who you are. And so they come to you like already in love with you after they've read your book, you know, and they're really ready to work with you. It also really extends your reach, you know. I mean, I can't tell you how many doors have opened for me since I wrote my book. And I see it with my clients all the time. I mean, it just really helps us to connect, to make meaningful connections, not only with our clients, but also with colleagues and just get our work into the world. It helps us serve better, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it just also helps bolster your confidence and capacity. Like, it's such a feat. Like, when you write a book, it's such a great sense of accomplishment. I'm sure you can relate, Rita. Like, I did this, you know, it's like birthing a baby. It's like, wow, this is really amazing. And so it really helps you really move with more confidence and more clarity in the world.
Mm. Yeah, you know, I interviewed 10 people before I wrote my book, like best-selling authors, people I didn't know. I just reached out and I said, I had like a set of questions that I asked them all, and all of them said, and they would like kind of like, should I self-publish, should I publish, like it was all these like sort of more business questions, like what should I do, how did you do it, da da da. And everybody got on the phone with me and gave me, and then I made my decision on how I was going to move forward. Anyway, every one of those 10 people said to me, this is going to be the best, one of the best things you'll ever do in your life. It doesn't matter what happens in the book, actually. A lot of them said, like you said earlier about the outcome, but this is personally going to be one of the most important personal accomplishments you'll ever make. And were they ever right? Like,
yeah. So, I just got full chills when you said that.
So did I, actually. So did I. That's so funny. I did.
And, that's truth right there. Yeah.
Yeah. And so now my last question, and then I want to ask you a couple of fun fire round questions. We've gotten so much juice and such good time. We're doing good timing, Jamie. You know, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You're an organizer of time and ideas, so that's why you're keeping me on track. would you say, or can we give people a timeline of like what is a good, and I love that you said, because that Jamie's the real deal, you guys. She's not like, oh, let's just get 30-day book out and just so I could say I'm a author. I know Jamie is in it for the real deal. Like, it's for the real transformative aspect of what it's going to do to you and how it's going to heal and help the world. It's not this quick scheme like, let's just do it. While that's available and that can be done, in the process for someone really wanting to, in their authentic voice, birth the book, what would you say is a good process, like a good timeline? Is it like, what, a year, 6 months, 2 years? And I know it can vary depending on how fast you're working, but go ahead and tell me that.
Yeah, totally. And one of the things I work with my clients on the foundational piece is like, what's going on in your life? Like, what's realistic? Like, how can you fit this in? And it requires some changing around of your life. You know, it's a commitment, you know? I sometimes joke, it's like, a construction project. Like, it sometimes takes twice as much energy and twice as much time than you imagine, because it's a deep, deep process, I find, with a lot of people who are really wanting to really offer the most potent expression of their gifts. And so it really varies. I don't really find that people can write a deep and meaningful book in like 30 or 60 days. I mean, unless that's like really all they're doing, like day in and day out, maybe, but it takes time. I mean, it's this recursive process. So I also talk a lot about the creative life cycle. Like, not every day is a super productive day. And so it ebbs and flows and has its own rhythm. And so I teach clients to really work with that. But I really love a 9-month process with my clients, because I love that it mimics human gestation, because it's like, how do we birth big projects into the world as humans? Well, a lot of times it takes 9 months. And so I work with clients in that space. But sometimes it takes, you know, less time, and sometimes it takes a little bit more time. And it depends on how you show up and what shows up when you enter into this work, in this relationship with your book. But I work with clients to really stay consistently engaged with their project, but also, like, you have to do your life, right? So I work with a lot of people who are entrepreneurs, who have businesses, who have families. And so it's like, how do we actually make it realistic? Because I know a lot of us want to like run away into the forest and write for a month in a cabin or something, but that's not always our lives. And so it's like, how do we actually bring it into our current life in a way that works?
I love it. It's like a personal trainer, right? Like, you've got to work out so you got to write. But
right.
How and when, and I love that you teach. This is what, because people walking into this, they may not understand that there is a creative life cycle, and that's a, like, again, that's a skill that you must learn to step. It's like you want to be really equipped with the right people and environment and mindset to be able to step into birthing one of the most, I mean, if anyone's listening, you must, I mean, I know people are listening, but if anyone's listening that's mm-hmm. resonating, I think Jamie and I say you must write your book. Like, there, don't wait.
Yeah.
Like, the time is now. And I just, I will, before we go into the quick fire round, I want to say about the timing of why it may be so perfect that you're listening to Jamie today. It's because I had a client write out, they were so caught up in the seriousness and the chaos of life. And I said, I want you to write out, you have 2 years to live. You know, in 2 years, boom, you'll be vanished from the earth. What would you do? What would you do now? And I ask you all that question now, because if a way to leave your legacy, and I'm getting goosebumps again, I don't know if you are, Jamie, but if your way to leave your legacy is through birthing your story, because again, Jamie, not only are you helping attract clients and people already are getting to know, but after you leave this earth, and I'm not getting all dramatic about it, but no, for real, like, the book still stands. Your legacy, your imprint, your energetic signature can be left behind. And there are many people we all know that are no longer here whose books keep impacting people over and over again. And my dad was a mm-hmm. huge, huge reader. And my dad passed away now 11 years, but I'm still learning from him. And you know how? Through books. Now, he didn't write a book, mm-hmm. but he read books like Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway and Think and Grow Rich. And, you know, when I had cancer, he gave me my first book at 16. That was Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. So today I have a couple of the books I kept from him, and underlined all these books, like these important things. So today I'm still learning about what was important to my father through a book. So I'm still going, wow, he thought this was important, and I kind of ponder. So imagine what your book can do. So Jamie is your go-to to support you in this. So Jamie, let's quickly move through this fire round, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay, sure. So let's see what Spirit picks for us. What was the most worthwhile risk you ever took?
Well, I can think of a few in personal and in professional, but in career, I think one of the worthwhile risks I ever took was hiring a coach to really help me build my business, you know, and stepping out. I mean, we talked about that already, like stepping out of your own mind and that own mental loop of like, I can do everything myself and I've got this, and really calling on the help of other people to do it.
Yeah.
And I would say the other two, which is very much linked to that, is that I ran a Kickstarter for my book, and that was amazing. Like, I really stepped into showing up, being visible, asking for what I needed, really leaning on this philosophy of like, are we stronger when we do things together? And the resounding response I got was yes. You know, so, you know, reaching out for the allies around me has been a risk, and also one of the best things I've ever done.
And that's another thing that Jamie's now an expert in, because I ran an Indigo campaign for CV Skin Labs, and I got to tell you, that's a whole other animal. And if someone has done that and can walk you through it, incredible. And then I have one more that just popped up for me for
sure.
You really pop up.
Yeah.
It popped up in my questions that I've written out. What is the one daily habit you attribute to helping your success and to stay in thriving rather than in striving?
I love that. Yeah, that's been a real path for me. You know, I check in with myself every single day and ask, like, what is, you know, because we have our plan for life, right? And then we have life, which is, they're not always quite, you know, perfectly aligned. And so my question to myself every day is, how is my energy level? What do I have energy for? Like, what am I truly inspired to do today? You know, and I do look at my commitments for the day and that sort of thing. But I think I ask myself, like, how can I take care of myself today? Like, what can I do today that will really nourish me and that will really feel aligned with my energy, what I'm inspired to do, what feels really true to me? I ask myself that all the time.
I'm just writing all that down because that is, I mean, key. It's like, you know, we're so used to following an agenda. And while writing has a schedule, right? I love that you also said there's a creative. See, I mean, you walk your talk, Jamie. It's almost like you're, you're also like, I have a career. I have a coaching practice. I have clients. I have a family. I have my things I like to do that are in my joy. But if you can wake up and give yourself permission to ask yourself this question, what do I have energy for? What do I feel inspired to do today? And then there is negotiable, like, oh, maybe my assistant can take that call because I'm actually feeling like it's a sunny day and I'd like to go for a walk or rent a bicycle or I want to actually write more on my book today when the time was tomorrow. Like, follow that bliss, right? Like Joseph Campbell, follow your bliss and you'll get the magic out of it. And I love it because the question was so that you're thriving, not striving.
And you have to give from a full cup too. I mean, it sounds really cliche, but it's so true. Like we can't keep giving away to the detriment of our own being. Like we have to find daily ways to fill up ourselves and really have that matter.
Yes. Okay, you guys, you've heard Jamie. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. And we've come to the end of our time today, but I feel like it was so effective. My gosh. And so, Jamie, I know that you've got more materials to continue to help everyone that's listening to really get deeper into this creative mindset. So do you want to share with everybody what you're giving them today?
Yeah, so I've created like a printable thing. I have a lot of clients who have this on their desk with our writing space. It's eight elements it's eight crucial mindset pieces that every creative needs. So something that you can return to again and again just to kind of remember, like what does it take to create? So that's kind of the freebie. And then I also, if people want to visit my website, I also offer a free consultation for people who are interested in writing books. So we can have a chat and just see kind of how we connect.
Okay. Yeah. So in the link, you're going to get this PDF in which you said something very key to remind you because we forget and it doesn't have to be so complicated. If you could have something posted to remind you like, oh, right, the inner critic's going to flare up. Got it. Right. I don't need to fall for it today. But then I don't know why as human beings, we have an inner forgetter. And then the next morning I wake up and I forget and I start to believe the inner critic. And if I don't have Jamie's PDF in front of me, that day may go another completely different direction. So reminding is so important. That's why as coaches, you know, Jamie, we repeat a lot because repetition.
That's how we learn.
And if you've ever thought about writing a book, you go get that consultation on the website. And also, Jamie, where can people find you in social media? Like, where do you hang out? Or is it your website the best place?
Yeah, the website's great. I really like Instagram. I hang out there a lot and kind of share tidbits of wisdom here and there. You know, just kind of me. It's me. and then Facebook as well. But I would say Instagram. I'm there, you know, regularly. And then Facebook more and more, especially just sharing my gifts. I blog regularly and have a monthly newsletter. And so I'm always trying to share something that's going to be really valuable for other people. So.
Awesome. I like Instagram too. What's your handle on Instagram? Just Jamie Flares?
It's J Flares. Yeah. So F-L-E-R-E-S, J Flares.
Okay, so F-L-E-R-E-S, everybody, not with an A. Okay, great. So this brings us to the end of our session today with Jamie. Any famous last words?
Oh, you know what? Well, thank you, first of all, Rita. Thank you so much for having me here. It's been such an honor. And I would say famous last words. Gosh, I feel like if someone was like, what is your message to the world? You know, it's that your voice matters, your experience matters, and you matter. That's my message. If I had like 2 seconds before I was about to pass out of this world, that's what I would say.
Oh, and that is such an important message that you're giving to people. If you were jumping out of a plane and like, I have to say this.
And I gotta go.
Yeah, right. That's amazing. Well, this call was definitely, spirit was driving. I could feel it. And I think it's going to be a pivotal call for people, a lot of people. So thank you again, Jamie. It's been a pleasure. I had so much fun with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, for all of you, please post your biggest takeaway on the Facebook page. I'll be there hanging out along with my team. And be sure to join us on our next very powerful session on Detox Your Life Career Edition. We are here for your success, and we thank you for being here and for listening. Bye for now.